You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thank you for joining us here today, friends. Happy Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday with me here together. Lord God Almighty, I thank you for all of these listeners here today, my extended family. Lord, I ask for your blessings here on everyone who is tuned in, everyone who's tuning into your frequency now because they want to hear a word from you. I pray that they won't be disappointed. Bless everyone who's tuned in here now today. Speak to them. Open their ears to hear a word from you today and to hear the truth, because thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Again, I thank you for joining us. I invite you guys to Island Community Church this weekend. I would love to see you here Sunday morning at 10:30. My sermon this week is entitled The Fullness of the Gentiles. We're looking, it seems to me, from what I see, and that's whether or not that's good or bad or not. Well, I mean, the Bible says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And I believe, well, it's a fact, and that is these last remaining seats in the kingdom, I think, are drawing to a few, and that's my sermon here this weekend. We're in Romans chapter 11. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles is coming. Now, the NIV, the old NIV, correctly translate that word pleroma, not just as fullness, but as the full number. That is, there's a number that's known only to God of how many Gentiles are going to come into the faith. And I picture over heaven a little sign there that says maximum capacity. And I think that's the great mystery. And that is, not everyone who wants to get into the kingdom will get in. Just like Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand and knock at that door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will say to you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So the time is coming when the Lord Jesus, same as we read in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, the time is coming that the master is going to get up and he's going to receive those that were ready, then he's going to shut the door. And after he shuts the door, people are still wanting to gain entry, and it's going to be too late. Now, this sermon is a look at what's going to happen. Well, I'll leave that for Sunday. You are invited Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Sunday morning at 10:30. Wednesday, we start this coming Wednesday, 6 o'clock. It's more of an informal study, and it is a study. It's a Bible study. I'm starting the book of Galatians verse by verse this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Sunday, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the last Gentile enters into the kingdom, comes into the fold. And then, like the Bible says, God will resume his plan with the nation of Israel. Oh, God is not through with the Jew, as Adrian Rogers used to put it. Make no mistake about it. Don't rip out the 11th chapter of the book of Romans out of your Bible. God's got a plan with the nation of Israel. He's not done with them. He's going to resume his plan maybe when your son or your daughter or your husband comes into the faith, or your coworker, someone. Maybe the Lord's waiting on you. We can hasten the day. Maybe that's why Jesus said, even the Son does not know, Mark 13:32, when his return is. But the time is coming when this door is going to be shut. Genesis 7:16, Luke 13:24, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. Here now, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 9. Prior to reading this, this is perhaps one of the greatest revelations that God has ever given me as a Christian. And let me read the verses to you first. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. It says, but the, now remember where we left off. We left at this angel coming down here with the key to the bottomless pit. It's like a sewer and a manhole cover. And he's got the key and he opens up this manhole cover and out come these horrendous demons. They appear like locusts with women's hair, and they're, well, the Bible says the power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails having heads are like serpents. I'm in Revelation 9:19. And that with them they do harm. Now, verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, they did not repent from the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and of wood, which neither are able to see nor to hear nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders nor of their drugs, I'm reading from my translation, nor of their sexual immorality nor of their thefts. And one day, maybe 20 years ago, the Lord said to me once, I'll never forget, spoke in my spirit. He said to me, they do not repent because they can't. You see, it's just like my sermon coming up this weekend. Strive to enter into the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to be able and will not be able. Maybe that doesn't count them, but this does. When once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, the time is coming where you're not going to be able to gain entry into the kingdom anymore. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, of all the people out there that refuse the love of God in order to be saved, it says, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie, so that they all might be condemned who believe not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, people at this point can't repent anymore. We read here in Romans chapter 1. Let me read these verses to you as well, where it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore, I'm in Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust towards one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do the things which are not fitting. We'll leave there. That was Romans 1, 18 through 28. That's what God thinks of the sin of homosexuality. If you continue in that sin, gays and lesbians, if you continue in that sin, you see, then you are going to be described right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 20, the rest of mankind who was not killed by these plagues, they refused to repent. They did not repent of the works of their hands. Verse 21, they did not repent of their murders nor of their... Now, the New King James and other translations have the word sorceries, but it's the Greek word pharmakia. Naturally, you know what that word means. Drug use. Or pharmaceutical drugs, even better yet. You see, I think this is the correct translation of this word because this John is speaking prophetically here. I don't think he's talking about witches and a bubbling cauldron and people casting eye of newt and frog's legs into a bubbling cauldron, calling up spells on people. It's talking prophetically. This is talking about a prophetic look at this end times that people refuse to give up their drugs and their pharmaceutical drugs. I believe that's what this is talking about. Nor of their sexual immorality, nor of their thefts. I think we even poo-poo that part, thefts. Think about that. Think about this. Thievery today is one of the main things that describe everything going on here today. From all of the text messages that you get, the swindling, people taking your money, people stealing your house, people taking your income tax, people stealing your identity, identity theft, 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 theft. Is there anything more that describes, that puts your thumb on the pulse of the world today than people refusing to give up pharmaceutical drugs and from thievery and thefts that describes everything here in this world here today? Let me read another verse to you here as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate homosexuals, nor sodomites." That's also homosexuals, by the way. The Bible not only condemns homosexuality, it condemns both partners of a homosexual relationship there. That's what effeminate is. That's the Greek word malakos. It means soft. It's the passive partner in a homosexual relationship. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. See, there's not only is there two types of homosexuals in that passage, there's two kinds of thieves in that passage. The word kleptos, like our word kleptomaniac, that is a secret thief. And also is the word here, harpazo, that is an open theft. Actually, where the word rapture comes from, to snatch away, to steal, stick them up. It's an open theft, out in the open theft here. So, like I said, not only, well, I'll move on here. Just this is a prophetic look here at the end times that people refuse to repent of different things, murders, drugs, sexual immorality. That's any sexual relations outside of marriage is fornication or sexual immorality. And that, by the way, is listed right here along with homosexuals and thieves is sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage. This is why the Apostle Paul laid on there. He said, don't be deceived. That is, don't kid yourself. And why he'll also say in another place, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. That is, don't let anyone talk you out of the truth of what this is here. Now, people refuse to repent because they can't repent. And I've just showed you where to go to back that up. Romans chapter 1. The time is coming where it's just too late. And the Spirit of God will not lead you to repentance anymore. He's promised that if you continue to live and operate in these sins, then the time is coming when the Holy Spirit of God will not draw you and lead you to repentance anymore. And that is what that looks like. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. By the way, have you ever met anyone like that? We see them by the scores of thousands. People who refuse to repent, they won't give up here the works of their hands. They worship demons. They worship their stuff. Idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. They won't repent of their murders. They won't repent of their pharmakia, drugs. They won't repent of their sexual immorality. And they won't repent of their stealing. Now, let's move on to chapter 10. Now, chapter 10 here, the book of Revelation, introduces an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpets. Remember, that's where we're at here. We were going through these seven trumpets. We've stopped at six. So now chapter 10 is, let's call it an interlude. We're in between trumpets. As the same as chapter 7 was an interlude between the sixth and the seventh seal, chapter 10 is an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. Now, let's pick it up here from the top. Chapter 10 is a very short chapter. Verse 1. And I saw a mighty angel coming down from heaven, having been clothed with a cloud. Remember, we just left off at the sixth trumpet. The seventh trumpet's not going to come until chapter 11, verse 15, after the two witnesses who we're going to look at here next week. So we've left off at the sixth. Now John hits us with this. And the seventh trumpet won't be until coming up in the next chapter. So that's why expositors call this an interlude. He's going to show us another vision. Remember, he sees a vision through to the end. He's not going in chronological order necessarily. That's why you can see the end of the world in chapter 1. Remember, chapter 1, here he comes. He's coming in the clouds. Every eye will see him. We see the end of the church age, chapter 3. Chapter 7, he sees already everyone gathered up in heaven. Okay, back again from the top. Chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw a mighty angel coming down from heaven, having been clothed with a cloud and a rainbow on his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Now, some people think or have believed that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's correct. Calls him an angel here. I don't think this is the Lord. Verse 2. All right, he said his feet were like pillars of fire, and having in his hand a scroll having been opened. And he put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, the seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, perhaps this is the archangel Michael. I even hate to say that this is just a mighty angel, because what an awesome sight this is. Imagine this, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow on his head. His face shone like the sun. That's the description of the Lord Jesus. Remember the transfiguration. It said his clothes became as white, whiter than even Crest cleaners could make his clothes. And his face shone like the sun. And here again, his feet like pillars of fire. And he's holding a scroll, but it's a different scroll than the one that the Lamb was loosing the seals from. Verse 3 says he cries out with a loud voice, like the roaring of a lion. And what he says must be some kind of direction or some kind of orders for someone or some angels to do something. Remember, angels are the ones that carry out the book of Revelation. Angels are the agents that carry out everything in the book of Revelation. Even an evil angel from chapter 9, Satan perhaps, very well could be him who has the key to the bottomless pit, lets out these demons out of there. This is a mighty angel. Cries out with a loud voice. And now for the only time in this book, instead of revealing, remember that's what the word revelation, apocalypsis means, to unveil and to reveal something. Here, instead of revealing, he's told to conceal instead of reveal. And he's told to conceal the contents from us. So he cries out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cries out, the seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven thunders have spoken, and do not write them. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, he raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things in it, the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there should be no more delay. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, whenever he is about to sound his trumpet, that the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Speaks for itself here. This angel, as if he was in a courtroom, puts his left hand on a Bible, raises up his other hand, and he swears to God that this is it. That when the seventh trumpet sounds, that's all she wrote. It's all over at the seventh trumpet. This is why I personally believe that the seventh trumpet represents this rapture of the church. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote? He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will all be changed. Remember, the dead rise up on the last day. Reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Remember, the dead in Christ rise on the last day. John 6:39, 6:40, 6:44, 6:54. He says, I will raise them up on the last day. We know when the dead in Christ rise, it's resurrection day on the last day. Paul says they've got to rise first. Then those of us who are alive will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we will always be with the Lord. This we know, that at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, the end will come. Or as he put it, that the mystery of God will be done at the last trumpet, as he declared it to his servants, the prophets. Verse 8, then the voice which I heard from heaven was speaking with me again and saying, go, take the little scroll which was open in the hand of the angel standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, saying to him to give to me the little scroll, and he said to me, take it and eat it. It shall make your stomach bitter, but it shall be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the scroll out of the angel's hand, and I ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. And when I ate it, it made my stomach bitter. Wow, this is the same thing that happened to Ezekiel. Ezekiel's scroll of woe. I'm running out of time. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. God says, "But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth, eat what I give you. Now, when I looked, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll was in it. And he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and the out. Writing on it were lamentations and mournings and woe. And he said, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said, 'Son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll.' So I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness." Sounds like the same thing to me. That was, again, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8, the scroll of woe. Now, let me give you the last verse here in chapter 10. We'll pick it up in chapter 11 with the two witnesses in our next study in the book of Revelation. Verse 11, "And he said to me, 'You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and languages.'" We'll end it here for today. The key thing for today, friend, is the time is coming here on the earth and in your own and my own personal lives. The time is coming where if you continue to reject the love of God, the time is coming that he will not draw you anymore and lead you to repentance. And that's book, chapter, and verse, Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. People refuse to repent anymore. They won't repent. Their consciences have been seared with a hot iron, and Romans chapter 1 has taken place when God, it says it, think three or four times in that text, where that God gives a person up to their own sins. And it's a terrible place to be in. We're out of time. Hope everyone has a great weekend. We'd love to see you at church this weekend, Island Community Church, Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to look at this fullness of the Gentiles. This number, I think, is getting perilously close to getting filled up. The last non-Jew that's going to take their place in the kingdom of God. We'd love to see you Sunday morning. We're out of time. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.